Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
Thank you for choosing to listen to this message by Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ in Tallahassee, Florida. We believe that you'll be blessed by the Word of God shared during this time. Now here's Pastor Edwards.
If you can turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 29, verse 29. And the word of the Lord reads, "Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house?" How can you take over if there's a strong man present in the house? We also find that scripture again over in Mark chapter 3 and 27. And this one reads like this: "No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house." First thing, you gotta take the man out first before you can get into his house. You gotta take him out and bind him up. So if there's a strong male presence there, ain't too much wishy washy that's going to be happening. Can I get an amen? Ain't too many wishy washy things going to be happening. But here's the enemy. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22, verse 31. "And the Lord said, 'Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat.'" I won't have to be able to say everybody's name, but I'm going to say men. Now, strong men. Strong men. Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. He sifts you as wheat. It's something going on, man. You're out of place, and your house is wide open. Just to put a little bit more emphasis, turn with me to John 10 and 10. "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." The enemy wants to destroy our homes, our families, our children, our marriages, our communities, our country. The thief, who is none other than Satan, the only way he can do it is if he takes out the strong man. Turn with me over to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter, "Be sober, be diligent." Gotta be sober. Can't be drunk, gotta be in your right mind, man. Be diligent, gotta be on guard. "Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about." You know, walking around chasing out your house, chasing out everything, trying to see where you need to eat, where you're going, so they can break in. "Walking about seeking whom you may devour." So if you're not sober and you're not diligent and cognizant of what's going on, you got somebody just looking, waiting to take you out. And if the enemy takes you out,
then it can take out your family and everything that they have. I'm surprised you can all the scriptures, where are you going? And then I just want you, for the sake of your family, for the sake of your kids, be in the right place. And the right place is that place where God will have you to be. That place may not always be comfortable. That place may not always set well in your spirit as far as the human side, but if God says be there, you need to be there and be in the right place. Because if you're out of place, things can happen. You go back to the garden. Adam was in the right place until he listened to his wife. When he listened to his wife, he was out of place. He got out of place because of disobedience, and he got out of place spiritually, and he could no longer hear from God. He could no longer walk closely in a relationship with God because he had become spiritually dead. Men, we cannot allow ourselves to become spiritually dead and not have a connection with God. We must be in the right place because being out of place can get you in a lot of trouble. I never forget, I was a little boy, and after school, I would go over to my aunt's house. Back then, and it was right, back then, you know, you need somebody else's address, and you could go to school on that side of town or wherever, and I would catch the bus from over there, and I'd stay over there that afternoon, and my dad would come and pick me up. And one day, you know, I made some good friends, and they went to the house tour. See, I don't know that about that. Back in the day, we used to have a house tour. We, you know, we could run down to the corner store and buy stuff. We had a house tour, like people would sell stuff out of the house. I don't know nothing about that. The house stuff. We had the house stuff. You go over there, they had nine ladies and all kinds of stuff. And big penny wheel cookies and stuff. I mean, in the house. You knock on their front door, and they come on in. And they have a linen dinner. They sell that freeze box. See, all that don't know. You know, frozen Kool-Aid and linen dinner. And we would at the house store, and then back then, you know, you had about 15, 20 cents. I was 52 when you go in there, you get some of them cookies right there for a penny, and give me some of that. And we had a house store, my friends, they had a lot of food and stuff, so I went with them, and we got gold. We bought a lot of stuff, and we had a little hideout. And we were sitting out there just eating and having a good old time. But I was out of place. And so my daddy didn't play even if I was good. I was supposed to be at my aunt's house, and he came to pick me up. I wasn't there. Guess what? In elementary school, I was in the yes. I was good as stuff. I came. They said, you're bad. I came and gone. And I was sitting there like, uh-oh. What's going to happen to me? Because I was out of place. Anybody ever been out of place? Working in the call center for the buses, answering them bus calls. Get a call. The bus just left. It just passed right by me. I need one of the supervisors to come and pick me up because I gotta get to work on time. I said, okay, so you need the bus pass. But yes, I did. I said, so you were at the bus stop when the bus was coming and the driver just looked at you. Well, I was on my way up the hill and I was waiting. No, you weren't at the bus stop. You were not in the right place. So if you're not at the stop, the bus doesn't have to stop for you to pick you up. But you're out of place and you miss the bus. What am I saying? When you're out of place, some bad things can happen. Bad things can happen. When you're out of place and being out of place can mean being out of a right relationship with God, being out of fellowship with God. We want to do what we want to do whenever we want to do it. And sometimes God will allow you to do that. And when you're out of place and out of position, some bad things can happen. Y'all don't believe me? I'm just reminded of this man by the name of David, who was one of the greatest kings. But David knew the Lord, and he knew when he messed up, he needed to go before the Lord. But David did. found himself in a very precarious situation. Men have never been between a rock and a hard place and don't know what to do. Over in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3, we read about the man David here who was on the run, he and his band for merry men. Better been on the run and hanging with the boys. And David was hanging with the boys. He was hiding out. He was on the run and he took all his family and everything. And he was hiding out. You know, I don't know nothing about hiding out. Well, I got to stay on the cover for a while. I can't come up because I might get into trouble. I got to stay here. Well, yeah, I can't tell you where I'm at. I just had to roll out of town for a little while. You know, get us some things, but you're out of town and you're out of place here. In chapter 30 of 1 Samuel, we find David here. In previous verses, he had not consulted the Lord, and he was staying with somebody he shouldn't be staying with. He was on the run, and he went, and he teamed up, basically, with men. I'm not going to be out of place, but out of place and teaming up with the enemy. But the enemy allowed him to stay there, and so they gave him a place over in Ziklag. But he was over there in Ziklag. He shouldn't have been there. He didn't consult the Lord before he went there. He didn't consult the Lord ahead of time. And so now, when we are out of place spiritually and we don't consult the Lord on things, we find ourselves in some tough situations. And so David had been there over a year trying to hide out on the run. He and his band of merry men. And so he was there, and he finally, after some things that went down, he went back. Then I'll read there in verse 30. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, he had been gone for a little while, out of place, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. You see why I read those other scriptures? See, the strong man had been there. If the strong man had been in place, the city wouldn't have been burned down. But you had a man, David, who was out of place. Not only out of place physically, but out of place spiritually, because he was on the run and he wasn't consulting with God. Men, we have to learn to consult with God on everything, every move, because if you don't, you'll find yourself in a bad situation. And verse 2. And they had taken the women captive, and they were therein, and they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. And it's all that how, well, I'm going to get here. I want that high definition television over there. I know they got some jewelry over there. I'm going to take some of this, take some of that, because there's nobody there to stop me. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Your wives, sons, they had two wives. Scripture goes on to say that. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Grandma now used to say, they let him cry. They ain't gonna cry blood. They ain't gonna cry blood. But here you find a man came back, everything was gone, all the men, and they cried till they couldn't even cry no more. That's some crying, man. That's some heartache. That's like when your first love tell you they don't want to be with you no more. You stay on the floor and you just cry till you can't cry no more. You ain't even got the strength to cry, not even the strength to pick up a Kleenex. Woo! That's some crying right there. Ain't no more water on the inside. The power to weep was gone. I just had to make it real. That's what they were experiencing. Everything was gone. Cried so hard. But then, verse 5 of David's two wives, and I'll go on down to verse 6. And not only that, David was greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of the people were grieved, and every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Check it out, man. Check it out, everybody. When you're out of place, out of fellowship with God, it could be stressing. Very distressing. And not only that, if you're leading people and you out of place and they following you, and then everything that happened to you happened to them, oh, now they're getting ready to play the blame game. Even though they hooked up with you, they're getting ready to turn on you. And they turn on it quick. Look, if it wasn't you, you wouldn't be here. But nobody told you you had to follow me. You don't have to follow everybody. Use your own mind. Use that gray matter. Don't hook up with everybody because they may hook you up and tie you to something you can't untie yourself from. So there was David, distressed out. And I believe he was thinking, man, if I only would have consulted God. How many of us have got ourselves into some situation? We said, I wish I would have asked him before I got here, because now I'm in a world of trouble. But it's so, I'm so glad we have a loving and compassionate God who will help us out of our own mess. But we have to come to a place and realize that we are out of place with God. And so what do you do at those times when nobody else is there, nobody else is around? The scripture says David encouraged himself. He realized that I didn't ask God, and I'm here in the camp. I'm with my enemy. Now the enemy has taken everything, and not taken not just my stuff, but the people stuff. The people mad at me. Now they're getting ready to stone me. Guess what? When you out of fellowship, it can cause harm to everybody else around you. When you out of place and out of position, it can hurt a whole lot of folk. But we are not challenging to be in the right place. But then David realized, and he went to the priest. Y'all know what's happening here. Lord, I done messed up, but I'm coming back to God. I'm coming back to my scripture. I need to get in the right place. I need to get in fellowship. And so David, he asked for the priest. And he said, I pray thee, bring me the ephod. And the priest brought it to him. And then David, in his right mind, inquired at the Lord. When you're out of fellowship, when you don't know what to do, and you want to get back, man, when you want to get back, go ahead and ask God. And he said, Lord, I'm going to ask you this. I can hear prayer. Lord, I don't lost everything. I messed up. I didn't hear from you. I moved when I wasn't supposed to move. I did what I wasn't supposed to do. You told me not to go over there and mess with that person, but I did, and now I'm all messed up. You told me not to take that one, and I took that job, but you told me not to, because you had just no real way. And I'm just in a precarious situation. I was out of place, and now my house has been broken into. And then he said, what shall I do? He said, shall I pursue after them? Shall I overtake them? Now, when you get into a place to where you don't know what to do, your ears are open and you are crying out like, Lord God, what should I do? What do you want me to do right here? What do I need to do? Oh, because mama can't help me get out of this one. Yeah. Daddy can't help me get out of this one right here. I missed that assignment. I didn't turn it in. Mom and daddy can't help me. I need to go talk to the teacher. God, should I talk to the teacher? Should I go do this? Lord, what you going to do? Lord, will you touch his heart? Oh, Lord. Well, you should have asked me to just touch your heart and your mind so that you would study rather than hanging out. But just because I love your parents. I never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. Just because you didn't see, I might be able to work out something. And so he said, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. And then verse 18 says, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. You see that? Out of position, out of place, out of fellowship, out of connection with God, but look at God. Look at God. He was able to go ahead and change that situation. So I wanted to just give you that example with David, because he was out of place. But God restored him and gave back everything. But Pastor, what about if I'm in place and hearing from God? Does the Bible speak about anybody being in place and being blessed from God? I'm glad to ask. Because there is a man. And this is to show you that God will bless you when you're in place. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. Well, I'm going to read verse 8. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. Here we have Elijah and his mentee, Elisha. Verse 9. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee that a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Here he was asked by his mentor, I'm getting ready to leave. What you want me to do for you? And see, when you study Elijah and Elisha, Elisha left immediately, and he followed Elijah just about wherever he went. He stayed with him. He was bonded to him. And now the man of God says, ask. And he asked for a double portion. And then the man of God said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see what I am taking from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Elijah basically told him, look, you ask a hard thing, but what do we know about our God? There's nothing too hard for God. There is nothing that is impossible. It may seem hard for us, but the man of God said, you ask for something that's hard, but nevertheless, if you see when I'm taken up. Basically, he's saying, if you're in the right place at the right time, being obedient, being where you're supposed to be, you shall have what you asked for. And see, here in the scripture, we find he not only wanted what Elijah had, he wanted a double portion of what Elijah had. Elijah had power. He did miracles. He was a man of God. He called down fire from heaven, and hanging out with somebody like that, he said, I not only want what you have, but I want a double portion of this thing. Because I've been with you so long, I've seen what you do. I want to do just as much. And when we're in the right place, and we're hanging out with the right group of men, and they're doing the right thing, you want to do the right thing too. And you want to be a strong man, and you don't want anybody to come into your house. And I'm telling you today, if you don't want anybody messing around in your house, you got to be home. And when I say home, home is where God would have you to be at that particular place and that particular time. Because if God tells you to be someplace and you're there, he got whatever else you got taken care of. He's got it all worked out. You don't have to worry about it when you're in the will of God and in the right place. And men, what I want you to understand is that you are that covering. You are that umbrella for your family. You are the one that controls what goes in and what goes out. And sometimes you have to make the tough decisions. Sometimes you have to say, no, this is not going to happen, because this is the way we're going to run this house. For me and for my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I heard a word from the Lord, and I know you want to do this, but right now I'm not feeling that in my spirit. And right now I'm going to have to do what thus says the Lord. You can get mad, you can get upset, but that's all right. I'm going to stay up all night long so nothing comes in this house. And he saw him taken up. And when he saw him, and it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. He saw it. He was there and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw everything that happened. But guess what? When God has spoken something, it's going to come to pass. And God spoke by way of the prophet and said, if you see it, everything is going to be all right. If you see it, you will have a double portion. And then, verse 13, he took the mantle of Elisha that fell from him and went back and he stood by the bank of the Jordan. And you see, when they first came, Elijah took it and hit the water and it split. Now Elijah's gone and the mantle fell on Elisha and he saw it. And guess what, the man of God? He went and did exactly what he saw Elijah do. Maybe your children are going to do exactly what they see you do. And he took the mantle, verse 14, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, check this out, where is the Lord God of Elijah? He was going to know now. He said, he told me if I saw him, I'm going to get a double portion. I saw it. I have the mantle. And now I'm right here and I'm asking, where is the God of Elijah? Well, sometimes men, your children may not be where you are spiritually. They may not even be where you are physically, but when they get all alone and they get in a tight situation and they know that daddy would pray and they know that daddy would call, they say, Lord, where is the dad, where is the God of my dad? He's asking for example here. He said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also split the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Guess what? God made himself known. Elisha asked for a double portion. The mantle fell. He picked it up and he looked down and said, where is the God of Elijah? And he went and he smote the waters, and lo and behold, exactly what it did for Elijah, it did for Elisha. And so God is saying, if you just obey my voice, if you just do what I told you, if you just in position, if you just listen to what I say, you can take the mantle and say, where is my God? Where is Jehovah Jireh? He's going to say, I'm right here getting ready to provide. I am right here because you didn't leave your post. You didn't leave your house. You didn't leave your family unprotected. You didn't leave your assignment. You stayed right there. And guess what? Elisha did twice as many miracles as Elisha. So God let the record be known that he asked for a double portion, and God delivered. So many, young men, God will deliver if you are in position. God will deliver if you remain a strong man and don't leave your house. Your house may be your job. Your house may be the school you're in. Your house may be a role that you're playing. If you want to leave, but if you're a really strong man, stay right there. The strong man stay right there. He said, if you get a little tired, don't worry about it, because he's saying, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. But a lot of times, men, we don't know what to do, and we get scared, and sometimes we want to run, but God says, don't run. Just stand. When you've done all that you know to do, you just stand. When you've done all that you know to do, when you cried to the no more tears, till you prayed all night long till your knees hurt, God said, just stand on your feet and just stand and hold your ground. Stand to your feet. Because God is saying today, be strong. Don't leave your post. Stay in position. I'm getting ready to show you some great and mighty things that you do not know.
We trust that you've been blessed and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True Holiness, or if you'd like to give a tax-deductible donation to help us continue to spread the gospel, visit us on the web at www.trueholinesscogic.org.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.